right, if we can take our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, please. Feel a little bit inadequate tonight. As Phil had said, I'm not feeling the best. I've been in bed since Wednesday, and preparation, I thought I'd try Thursday, and I sat in bed with my laptop open. I knew the passage I wanted to preach from, and it was just blank. I couldn't think of anything, and so put away. Tried again Friday, and then it seemed like a flow of thought started to happen, so I quickly typed and wrote down as quickly as I could, and I do pray that it'll be enough for you tonight. But let's have a word of prayer, because I need some help. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word and the opportunity to preach tonight. I just pray you give me clear thinking. May you just do, Lord, what I can't do. And just pray for this cough that it'll just ease off for tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It does seem like this is the third time in the last few weeks I've preached and I've been sick or getting over something. So I hope it's not going to be a continued habit, because I don't want to keep this up. All right. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read the first 10 verses. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Recently, you would have known or saw the breakup of both the Liberal and National political parties. It's not a political sermon tonight, but I just thought it was a good stepping stone into the thought. Although the Liberal and National Party suffered a huge loss at the last election, for many years they have remained a united front as a political party. Now that the unity of the two parties is in question, the strength of the group has now collapsed. Now, I know there's been talks, but once had a unified political body, they suffered a loss, and then through obviously a disunity of things have split up. Now, the church, although not a political party, is a body made up of members, and tonight I'd like to take a few minutes to discuss the important part of this body, and that is unity. And especially as we head into the AGM tonight, it's good to rethink about things and refocus our thoughts and where our mind is. I want to make a statement, and this is just my own statement. I haven't read it from anyone, but I think unity does not automatically imply that everyone involved completely agrees with the other. All right? Just because we're unified doesn't mean that we have to be 100% agreed on every single thing, but rather that all parties agree to work in the same direction. All right? If we take even the Liberal and National Party, every every member or every serving member of the Liberal Party, if you were to ask them on every single policy, some may not agree wholeheartedly that that's what they believe or they feel strongly about, but for the sake of the party, they'll say, I will support that. And we need to understand that as we think about our church and the body that we represent here. So I'm going to look at three things. We'll be looking in Romans 12 mainly, but then we'll also look in 1 Corinthians 12, which will be kind of like a parallel or corresponding sort of passage. The first thing in these 10 verses that I see is that the church body is diverse in its members. The church body is diverse in its members. Verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly." But then we go on to verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office." But it's clear to state there that we have many members in this church body. Isn't it interesting that as a church we can have such a vast array of people of different backgrounds, different cultures, different educations, maybe different wealth status, how you've been brought up as far as religion, how you've been brought up as far as culture goes. Each one of us is completely different. Aren't you glad that you aren't the same as me? I know that most people would not want to be me. I think it's pretty cool, actually. But there is one uniting thing that ties us all together. Have you ever thought about this? Because we are so different, we don't, as I said, we don't just all agree on everything, but we can be tied together and work towards the same goal and towards the same purpose of the local church, and that's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I read a verse in Ephesians chapter 2 that would, I think, to me reflected this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 to 13, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." The blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that allows us to not just attend church, but to have the same mind with the purpose of the local church. And as a local church, as we go to make decisions regarding members, regarding steps forward into ministries, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and even though we may be totally different in our understanding of things, and maybe in our belief of what is the best course, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be unified in making the right steps. The Bible says there in Romans 12, verse 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given to us." So the first, it's not only just the people that are diverse, but it's what makes us up that makes it diverse as well. Each one of us have different gifts. When we receive Jesus Christ, God, as He decides, according to the grace that is given to us, if you have a gifting to serve in the local church, it's not because of anything that you've done. It's not because of your maybe learned talents, although they can be gifts. But it seems that God gives individuals certain things that they can do within the local church. And even though we're all different, some may have the gift of giving. There are some things listed here. There's a ministering, there's a teaching, there's exhorting, there's ruling, there's prophesying, There's a whole bunch of things within the local church that although we are different, God gives these things. And it needs to be understood, and it's important for us to remember that according to the measure that God allows us to have these things, we should then serve in these things. When it says, when it reads these verses, when it talks about the different ministries from or the different giftings from verse 6, it's interesting, it goes on to say, for example, verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. And it goes through the different things, and the thing that we get from this is, even though we have different gifts and God may gift you in a certain way, if that is your gift, go and do it. Go and use it. If God's given you a specific gifting in a certain... and each of us have different giftings. What's the right way to put it? Some people are further down the track in their gifting. They've used it a lot more. They might be skilled in it more. Wherever you're at with your gifting, just get in and do it. A ministering, just get on and minister. He that teacheth on teaching, just go ahead and do it. He that exhorteth on exhortation. The Bible's quite clear. As a unified body, whatever gifting you have, you should be putting it to use. So we are a diverse in membership. We have different gifts, but then there are different offices as well. Verse 4 says that. For as many as many members in one body, all members have not the same office, different functions. Let's have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There were some verses I should have read before, but let's just read verse 12. It kind of shows the diversity of members. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." We are a unified body. In verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." I want to encourage you that whatever part that you play in this local church, you do get to use your giftings. But as members, there are different operations within the local church. There are some that come with weightier positions as far as responsibility. There are others who are seen more. There are others who may not be seen, others that may not be positions or operations that may not be desired, but they are equally important as one another. I was thinking of an example of this or an illustration. I want you to think about the military. Throughout the military, you have obviously your different levels of authority. Those who make all the big decisions, and Brother Phil would understand this. And as you go down through the end, you get, I don't know, in my mind, if you're in the army and all you ever got to do was carry the ammunition, that's all you did. You were the lackey, you went and collected it, you went and took it to the guys who shoot the guns. I mean, I'd rather shoot the guns than carry the bullets. But if you don't have someone that carries the bullets to the guns, the guy with the gun can't shoot. We all think the guy with the gun who's in the line of the battle and he's the one that's winning the battle, he's more important. But the person who brings the bullets is of equal value because he has his part. Those that who wound the sick, who tend the sick and heal the wounds. Those who cook within the military are very, very important. We all have different functions, and I want to encourage you that no matter what operation that you're involved in this local church, year of great value to not only God, but also to this local church. You may not get to stand on the stage very often. You may not sing in the choir. All you may do is be just someone who maybe helps on the weekends or helping with the grass or maybe at the door, or you might just say hello. You may just help and set up the coffee stand outside. I know most people enjoy the instant coffee. It's such a blessing. I love instant coffee. I'm thinking of starting a coffee chain. It's just going to be called Instant. And that's all I'm going to sell is just instant coffee for a dollar. I think it would be a hit. But no matter what you do in this local church, no matter how you serve, it's of vital importance. So I want you to be encouraged that although we are so diverse in the type of people, in our giftings, and in the way the church is run, you are of great importance. Everybody is needed for the effective working of the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I won't go ahead and read them, but we know that particular passage where it talks about the different physical parts of a body, talks about the eye and the ear and the hand and so forth. So the Bible kind of shows the different operations within the local church, but if you didn't have an eye, you know, you really couldn't function properly. You need all those parts working together to be very effective. And as our body, we need each other. We need each other to make this church effective. So the first thing from Romans 12 is that the body is diverse in its members. The second thing, now, I was very proud of myself. I love to alliterate things. And as I was studying, I was thinking, there's no way, I'm not feeling good. I'm not even going to try and alliterate anything. I'm just going to just give what I can. And then as I was preparing, I had another. First one was the church body is diverse in members. Then it just came. The church body is deliberate in its ministries. I was dumbfounded. And the third one came as well, so I don't know what happened there. Verse 7 and verse 8of Romans 12. We've kind of alluded to this a little bit, but I want to just go just slightly a little bit more into it. Remember when I talked about in verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation. It goes on with a little bit more detail as we read through the end of verse 8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. When we're going to use the giftings within our ministries, we need to be deliberate in how we actually do it. We need to be deliberate in how we actually do it. I want to more concentrate on verse 8. Now, it doesn't do it for every single one of these giftings, but I think it's true that you can apply it for all of your giftings. Verse 8 kind of goes to teach that when you are serving, learn to do it the right way, or learn to do it a deliberate way. If you're going to give, don't just do it in a complicated way, or don't be just so like, oh, I'll only give to certain people. Don't make it complicated. If you see a need and God's given you the gifting of giving, whether it doesn't have to be money, it can be just going up to talk to someone, it can be giving of your time or your talents, whatever it is, do it with simplicity. As you see the need, your gifting should be applied to that need. It shouldn't have to be, I have to be asked first, can you go and give that to brother or sister? It should be, I see the need. God's gifted me to do this. I see that I'm very comfortable in doing this. Then do it deliberately. When God reveals it, pastor may say something, I need help with something, or we want to pray about something. As God stirs your heart, just do it simplistically. That's a word. Just do it very simply. Don't make it complicated. And then verse 8, it talks about rule with diligence. There's a lot of deliberate different things. I'm not going to try and explain them all, but the idea is that when we're using our giftings, do it deliberately for the Lord and allow God to use you. Those that show mercy, it says, do that with cheerfulness. I don't think I've got the gifting of mercy. I haven't got that one. That's not me. I'm glad other people do. But if you've got mercy, do it with cheerfulness. But be deliberate in how you're ministering. I can understand that the way to use the giftings may not just come naturally all the time, but I believe they can be learned with time. But if you never use your gifting, you'll never learn the way God wants you to use them. All right? So when you understand what sort of gifting that God has given you, just start using it all the time. Be that person that someone says, he's always on time, he's always got a positive attitude about everything, or man, he just gets alongside people and they might rub me up the wrong way, but he just seems to get along really well with everybody. People have got different giftings, but use that gifting, use that thing that God has equipped you for, and allow God to develop that in you, because it's very, very important for the ministries of our local church. So I've had two, and then the third one, and this will be the last one, is that the church body must be determined in its mindset. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For us to be able to be a unified body, the only way that it's possible is if we're continually transforming our mind, having our minds renewed and transformed to be more like Christ. If we go full circle back to the beginning where I said we're all diverse, we're all different, we have different temperaments, we have different thoughts of how we were brought up, how things should be done. If we're not continually transforming our mind, if we're not determining to have a better mindset, it's very easy to fall into my attitude, what I want, this is how I think it should go, regardless of what other people think. Very, very easy to do. So I've kind of started at the beginning of the passage and made it at the end. Because this is, to me, the other two are just kind of information that this is what it is. But this is how we become a unified body. And that's by having a change of mindset, but a determined mindset. It's not going to be my way, it's going to be Christ's way. It's going to be the way that God wants us to live in this church and make decisions within this church. The first thing that I see that needs to change is that the way we see ourselves needs to change. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, it says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We need to make sure that we change the way we see ourselves. We shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. Have you ever, it's quite easy to do, have you ever felt really good about yourself because something comes easy? It could be one of your giftings, and you've learned to use it, and you just feel really good about yourself. That in itself is not too bad, But it's when we go from that and we look at others and we think, well, they're not at my level. And all of a sudden, we can be very guilty of being very proud, even with the very giftings that God has given us. We all need to be very careful of this. It also says there, not think so highly of ourselves, but it says, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That idea of being sober is just level-headed. Look at the reality of things, and even if you are learned and grown in your walk with the Lord, a real soberness would be, it's only by God's grace that I can do what I can do. And it's not because I'm better than anyone else or I'm more talented than anyone else. It's only because of God's grace. It's because he's given me that measure of faith, or the measure of ability within that gifting and service for him. So the first thing is, we need to make sure that we have a different, a renewed mindset about ourselves, but then also the way we see others as well. Let's have a look in verse 9. Excuse me. Verse 9 and verse 10. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Then it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. That statement at the very end of this verse is the thing that kind of got me thinking about this passage, in honour preferring one another. It's so easy just to make decisions and live my life according to the way I think, to the purposes and things that will benefit me, and it's easy to do that. But when we are being kind one to another, remember, we're talking about changing our mindset. Within a big group like this, it's easy to think, well, you can think that, brother or sister, but I'm going to think and I'm going to do this. But when we start to prefer one another, when we start to consider where people are at and what God's doing in their life, and we could easily just make a decision away from that because that's what I want, but God says, hey, we need to be kind. We need to have the right love that says we're going to be kind, but I'm also going to prefer that brother over what I want, over what I think. That's one of the hardest things to do. But God says we need to be renewing our mind, constantly changing the way we think, the way we see things, the way we see about, the way we think about other people. Can you imagine if we, each one of us, took this principle and preferred one another? How differently maybe church might be run, or the decisions we make, because we're not thinking about our own selves, we're thinking about other people and how do the decisions we're making affect them. Each member is valued by the other. 1 Corinthians 12 alludes to this as well. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21. Okay, we'll read that. It says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So each member is vitally important. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The way we see each other, you're valued. we want to prefer you and give you, I guess, the honour because you're serving in this local church just along, just the same as us, alongside. But I want you to think about the way that you see other people within our local church. Do you see them as a help? Do you see them of equal value to what you're doing? If not, then there's a problem. Each member is valued by the other. And it culminates the reason why this is the reason why we want to change our mindset all the time is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Wouldn't it be sad if that we have such a good number of church members who say they love the Lord, who say they want to be united in the way and in the decision making that God wants us to do, and yet we've never thought about changing our mindset and working on that, and a decision needs to be made, and someone says, no, I think it should be this way, and someone else says, no, I think it should be this way, and no one prefers each other, and no one wants to back down, and there's a bit of a schism, there's a bit of a split within the thinking of the church. And as we come to the AGM very shortly, we need to make sure that our mindset is of Christ, that we want to honour God in the decisions that we make. And then as we move forward, as we come into conference and as we move forward into the year and hopefully years to come, we need to make sure that our thinking is not just on us, but that we're unified to serve the Lord in the right direction, in the way that He wants us to go. So it is true that we can be diverse in our makeup of people. We can be multifaceted in its function, and it seems highly improbable that it can function properly and without no problem. That's what it seems like. But when we focus on what God has set up and learning the way that He set it up, the church body can function effectively and God can use it for His glory. So I pray that that's been something for you, help for you. I hope that God can use that. And yeah, pray that's a blessing. Let's just pray and then I'll get John to come and close. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for, Lord, being a great God who's brought so many people together. And Lord, we get to serve you together. I pray that you'll work in my heart, help me to learn these lessons, to work effectively with others and to be unified and to honour you in all that I do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.